money, I've got the time. You want your freedom, make your freedom mine. 'Cause I've got the style it takes. And money is all that it takes. You've got connections and I've got the art. You like attention and I like your looks. I have the style it takes. And you know the people it takes. Why don't you sit right over there? We'll do a movie portrait. I'll turn the camera on, and I won't even be there. A portrait that moves, you look great, I think. I'll put the Empire State Building on your wall, for 24 hours glowing on your wall. Watch the sun rise above it in your room. Wallpaper art, a great view. I've got a Brillo box, and I say it's art. It's the same one you can buy at any supermarket. 'Cause I've got the style it takes. And you got the people it takes. This is a rock group called the Velvet Underground. I show movies on them, do you like the sound? 'Cause they have a style that grates. And I have art to make. Let's do a movie here next week. We don't have sound, but you're so great, you don't have to speak. You've got the style it takes. You've got the style it takes. You've got the style it takes. Couch. You've got the style it takes. Kiss.
that was the Flies on the Square Egg from their album Beatles versus Kiss. So they did Kiss songs all Beatles style. And that was a request, lovely request for Love Gun. Before that, another request for a song about Andy Warhol from the album Songs for Drella. And that was Style It Takes, Lou Reed and John Cale. Before that, we heard Barrett's Whitfield and the Savages. It's mighty crazy. And Nouveau Vague started off with The Guns of Brixton, a song written by Paul Simon from The Clash. Too bad he didn't write more songs, man. That was a dilly. How are you guys doing? You all right? Yeah. All right. We're good. We're good. So, wow. We're just doing this. So this is fascinating. This is the most phone calls I've ever got. I got an hour into the show. I got more phone calls than I probably do. And every time I answer the phone, I go, hello, is it Paul? I just keep thinking it's Paul in the beer, called Paul in the CBD store. I keep, hey, Paul. I was like, no, this is Jerry. Jerry. Oh, cool. Who's this? Oh, no, this is, I'm like, damn. I guess I got a handful more listeners than I thought. And especially since automation was such a big hit last week. It's kind of, it was hilarious. It's more funny than anything else. You don't know, last week there was a fire in the building, or at least a fire alarm, and I had to vacate, evacuate, and scramola about 10:30 last week. And actually, so now we're even. I've had like three messages saying, you know, oh, my show was so good last week when it was the Mockster's Automation. And then I got three phone calls saying like, oh, no, your show's good. I'm like, damn. So you know what else I did? This is funny. I changed my promo. I don't know if anybody's going to read it or not, but where did I change my promo at? It's pretty funny. Where I got edit? Where's my edit at? But anyhow, I said, it's Zombo in Your Brain. It's the show you used to listen to, and it's still on the radio. Yeah. So, and the Deep Archive is at another great spot, 4 o'clock in the morning on Thursdays. So you can go back in time and listen to shows from 15 years ago that actually probably sound like automation. 4 to 7 a.m. on Thursdays is when they moved it. So I'm not doing a new season. So I did a season about 40 years ago, and they kept moving my slots around. And I'm not going to, like, edit and put together a whole, like, you know, three-hour show of old stuff if it's going to air at 4 in the morning. You know, they put me back on, like, a Sunday or a Saturday afternoon. I'll do some new stuff. Other than that. Oh, so I got to tell you, this is hilarious. So I got a call saying, you know, the signal's staticky. If it is, let me know. I'm dropping something in the engineering about the radio signal being static. I'm just happy this thing's on the air. There has been a couple times on this station, because it's during the summer now. There was a couple times we had just the transmitter was like a 1/4 power. Nobody did anything for months. We were broadcasting like, let me put it this way. We rivaled PTS as far as how small our signal is. There are people listening to PTS going, wow, man, you guys are bumping RCT off the dial. But so it was interesting. So very little happens, but hopefully. So I did this one prank once. I was on another station in Akron. This was in the 90s. I was on APS, which, believe it or not, WAPS out of Akron is the sister station to WYEP. I thought when I moved here in 2001, I was going to be able to go from WAPS to WYEP. I walked into YEP and introduced myself, and they basically told me that I would need to stuff envelopes for about 2 or 3 years, and then I would get a show every other Tuesday at 9 or at 4 in the morning every third Tuesday of the month if I stuffed envelopes for a couple years. You know, and I was like, well, see you never. CNN friends were like, hey, you should go on RCT. Friends were like, hey, you should go on RCT. Nobody cares. Nobody cares at that radio station. It is out of control. It's a crazy train. That's this station. This station is a crazy train. And so here's what I did on APS. So their signal was like this today. If you're listening and it's kind of crackly. So what I did is I brought a friend of mine in, and I put him on the other side of the board with a microphone, and I gave him like really strange international music to play. You know, a lot of Balkan stuff, Ukrainian stuff, Russian stuff. And I said, here, you go on there. So what? And then I recorded, I had a CD recorded. I planned this for a while, so this is funny. I had a CD recorded of nothing but the sound of like static, like really bad static was the CD. And what I did is I'd do my show, I'd talk, I'd fade that static in, then I'd fade my buddy in the other studio, and he would be like saying, oh, it was, what was this called? Because it was 91.3 was the station. And they don't go like by even odd numbers. It's go by odd numbers, the points. So, but I had him be 91.2. And I forget what call letters, but it was called the Foreign Exchange Hour. It was called the Foreign Exchange Hour. And he was like playing, that was, and then people call up. This is hilarious. So people call up and they'll go, hey, I'm listening to this radio show. And there's some, then I, while they were talking to me, I fade the static out and put my show on and go, I don't hear anything. You want to check your radio now? You want to check your radio? Oh, yeah, it's fine now. Okay. Then I get rid of him. Then I bring the static back up and then bring my buddy back in with his fake radio show on the other. That was fun. That was such an FCC violation. That's the beauty of that. I was on APS. And APS was, they would kind of watch you. They had this weird thing on APS. If you had more than 3 or 4 seconds of silence on the air, it would set off these crazy alarms. It was. They had this weird default system. If you had more than a few seconds of like complete silence, which is also, I guess, an FCC violation. If you have more than like 5, 7, 10 seconds of silence, you know, they should be listening to this show. I mean, this is one FCC violation after another. Speaking of that, did you know the average American, 1 in 6, they get a foodborne illness every year? How was that for a segue? It was almost like I tricked you into listening to this, right? That's why it's important for you to use a food thermometer. Now, remember, don't use the same one you use on your butt. Rectal thermometer, food thermometer, sure, they might look the same, but they are two different chores altogether. But that's right. Cook your meat to the right temperature. 98.6, I think, is what that goes as. Clean, separate, and cook. So, yeah, if you want to clean your thermometer, yeah, I'm sure you're fine. A little shot of alcohol, some Listerine, and then you can go right up the butt. And then you can put it back in your steak. Oh, yeah, steak's fine. Tastes a little rank. Oh, well, whatevs. To learn more about the 4 steps to keep your family safe from foodborne illnesses and how to correctly use a rectal thermometer, please go to foodsafety.gov. This message brought to you by, who does butt thermometers anymore? I think that's probably like some weird fetish now. You know, hey, take my temperature. I gotta use this butt thermometer. Okay, sure. Because like butt thermometer isn't like, it's tiny. So it can titillate, but not do any tissue damage. So I'm sure there's folks like that. Yeah, time to take my temperature again. Like a 9-year-old kid. I need my temperature taken again, Mom. You know, this kid is really going to go places in this world. He's obsessed with getting his temperature taken rectally. Because right now they can just kind of think, and they can zap your forehead and give you your temperature. Boy, did that make the rectal thermometer people angry. You know? So, you know, if you're going into your doctor and he wants to do the temperature that way, he's old school. He's very old school. That's right. I wonder if they even sell rectal thermometers anymore. I don't know. Maybe just use a meat thermometer. Same animal. Let's see. Have you had extreme exhaustion for the past 6 months? Troubled with difficulties sleeping and reading words on the paper? Body and flu-like symptoms? Maybe you could have chronic fatigue syndrome. That is right. The best thing to do, take your temperature. Here you go. Grease that thing up and take your temperature. Get it done right. Get diagnosed. Learn about CFS. And I'm sure I could think of some funny anagram of what CFS stands for, but it's actually chronic fatigue syndrome. We're not going to go down that road so early in the day. Hey! Let's get back to gun crazy. Real crazy. Babs Gonzalez, Zombo in your brain. Eat up, lava,
ba da ba hoop doo doo ba da ba ee hoop da ba da ba oo be hoop doo hoop hoop really blah da ba da ba hoo hoop da ba da ba oo be hoop da ba da ba ha da ba da ba ha ba ba leap ba ba ha ba oo doo 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 ee hoop da ba da ba hoop ba ba doo doo be hoop hoop doo hoop da ba ha ba be doo doo ba da ba ee hoop be ee hoop be da ba ha ba hoop be hoop be hoop da da ba hoop hoop be hoop be hoop da oo hoop da ba da ba oo boo boo oo hoop da ba da ba oo boo boo ee be hoop boo ee be hoop be ee be hoop ba ha ba la ba hi do be do ba ble be e da la ba ha ba e do e ba ba be do e ble be ble ba e da la ba u do e da la ba u ba u do be da ba u be u da ba da ba hi be u da e bla bla we get hit on the head, third full coat medal in my hand.
There you go. Guns Before Butter, Gang of Four. Before that, we heard, what did we hear before? Guns Before Butter, something crazy. It was a crazy thing. Oh, Crazy Train. We heard the Lounge Brigade doing Crazy Train from their tribute to Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath. That came out a while ago, but that was really good. We got that at the station. That was 2002. Wow. That was a dilly mo. Before that, we heard the Guns of Brixton by Nouveau Vague, and we heard I'm Scared of the Guns by John Wesley Harding. You're listening to Zombo here. It's Gun Crazy. It's all songs about gun and craziness, insanity, and firearms. And it's crazy when you actually I have a neighbor I know he's got a safe in his house, like one of those big like vaults, and I'm sure he's got like a whole, how many enemies does this guy have? He has a safe full of like machine guns. How many enemies? And this is like some fat dude that is a maintenance man, like at a high school. He does like maintenance, you know. And it's just, it's like you make all the kids you work at mad, and you gotta, you know, it's bizarre when you actually here's the thing. Most people don't grow up. Actually, a lot of people, we all don't grow up. It just all depends how rotten of a kid we were. We're about like 8 or 9 years old. After 8 or 9 years old, you don't change really. You don't change at all after like 9, 10. You're that person. You're that thing. If you're stingy with your toys, if you're nasty to people, you're going to grow up stingy and nasty. If you are, you know, one of these kind of kids that's just kind of like, you know, meek and mild, chances are you're going to be meek and mild. If you're one of these kids that's a bully, you're going to grow up to be a bully. You know, unless something like you get a lobotomy or something. Then everybody, I think they should have mandatory lobotomies for everybody. The world would be a very happy place. We just all walk around like, you know, like a month full over the cuckoo's nest, la, 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 all drooling. And it'd be awesome. There wouldn't be any fights. There wouldn't need any guns. You know, there'd be a lot of, like, pooping in the pantsons and very little people to take care of stuff. But so what? Go back to, like, the caveman era. It's like Idiocracy, that movie, only, like, 10 times stupider. We're at the point where we have, because right now we have lost all our, analytical thinking. Most people have lost all their analytical thinking. Nobody is going to change their mind on anything. You pretty much have the same beliefs you had when you were 11 years old. Nobody's going to change your mind on anything. That's the thing that gets me about these people with like these sending videos. Here's some videos about this. You should watch this. Unless you are easily duped. And there's some people and they're easily duped into something else. They go down that rabbit hole. They watch this thing. Oh, really? And before you know it, they start believing crazier and crazier things. And you can't break that. So they're just going to go down the road on that crazy train. Yeah. So anyhow, I think the whole thing, though, with guns, I have a very simple solution. Very simple. Somebody wants to buy a gun, you look at them and you see how they're dressed. If they're wearing all white, they're a good guy. If they're wearing all black, they're a bad guy. If they're wearing all navy blue, they could be a good guy or a bad guy. And it's really unfortunate how to find out if they are either a good guy or a bad guy. Maybe with that. What else we got? Oh, this is kind of interesting here. I might as well just get right to this. I see a lot of homeless people. And I just think, what is it with the God bless me? God bless you, I'm sorry. I think God bless you in bum language means F you. That's what I think. Because it's kind of like, oh, can I have something? God bless you. And I just think in bum language, that means F you. You know, because number one, if they really do mean God bless you and they believe in God, then, you know, they should really be honest with their sign. Their sign should say, God burden me with being an addict. Please give me some money. God did me wrong. Because, you know, getting a God bless from somebody who's, like, really destitute, that's sad. You know, guy's got no, oh, but God bless you. God bless you. Really? He did a number on you, pal. It wasn't too much in the blessing department, you know. Blessed you with an addiction, you know. Blessed you with, like, getting hung out, strung out on meth. Thanks, God. So I don't even know how God even gets into this situation. If anything, it should be like, man, God dealt me a dirty hand, man. Give me some money so I can buy some drugs, some booze, and a gun. That's I just don't like dishonesty. And the bum font is really odd. It's like they all went to the same training classes. You know, get the piece of cardboard, get the marker, and use the bum font, which is kind of like block letters, and they trail off. Bum, and some of them have like this long story on them, and like, I ain't got time to read the story. But needless to say, it all ends with God bless, and that's very, very, very strange to see that. You know, if they do believe in a God, why is he doing that to them? You know, why is he doing that? And why would he do that to somebody that goes, oh, he's hope he blesses you. He really screwed me a good one. Hope he blesses you because I'm having a rotten time here standing in 90-degree weather hoping somebody gives me a sandwich that I'm just going to throw by the side of the road. I see a lot of food there. Because if you say somebody's hungry, I always see people give them food and they're just always pissed off they get food. What's this? I didn't finish this at the restaurant. Oh, really? You were going to take this home to your dog. Well, you're hungry. You said you're hungry. This is a perfectly good half a turkey sub sandwich. It's perfectly good half a sub. I don't want that. I don't like that. Crazy. Crazy, crazy. Your old bum font. And I'm sorry. I don't give money to homeless people. I just think it's, I don't know. I'm not a good person like that. But I mean, it's just such a huge issue. It's such a huge issue. A friend of mine was homeless and actually said, you know, the hardest part was he was living in a tent, kind of, you know, living hand to mouth, you know, getting some money here, getting some money there, doing this and living in a tent. He said the hardest thing was integrating back into society. He said it was so addictive not having to worry about a car payment or not having to worry about paying electric bill or a water bill. He said, I had no bills. I had no bills that comes in the mail. I had no mail. I had nothing. It was just like, he said it was really hard to get back into the rat race after that. And sadly, most, and if you ever see somebody that's says I'm a vet, there's a VA that'll give these guys everything if they ask for it, and if they don't, you know, they can't be a drug, they have to clean up drug wise. But most of the guys you see that are vets, I saw a guy, he was panhandling outside of the VA saying he was a vet. I mean, go inside and get something. They'll hook you up, man. Dude, I don't know. It's a crazy world, isn't it? You know, there was a couple steps I was almost homeless, you know. I think a lot of us, you make the wrong decision, you do the wrong thing, and you go down that path. And then you can't turn around. It's weird, man. Life is weird, man. It's so easy to screw it up. It's so easy to make, but it's so easy to make the safe decisions that at the end of your life, you go, man, that movie was sure boring. You know, what'd you do? Like your life's passing before your eyes, okay? Yeah, and you're dying, and all of a sudden you say, "Oh yeah, I remember that one football game." Yeah, the Immaculate Reception. That's going through your brain. You know, yeah, I watched that one football game. You know, this one movie I saw. This guy, he was like Superman. Is like that's going through your brain. Your whole life you're watching sports and movies, and when you're dying, the movie of your life is movies and sports stuff. Crazy. Right? Well, who knows? Who knows what happens, right? Who knows what happens? And that's the fantastic part of it. That is the fantastic. Because, you know, nothing's scary. I'm just saying that. The idea of nothing is scary. Not being around. Our consciousness and our egos. Man, I'm not going to be around in like 30, 40 years. There's not going to be nothing. There's not going to be anything other than this stupid radio show that maybe four people are going to listen to 20 years from now and go, oh, man, this guy's sad. This dude's sad. He never amounted to much of anything. He was just did it for his own entertainment. And, you know, that's fabulous. That's how I win. I win because I do this for my own entertainment. This is awesome. You don't know how awesome it is having this. This is a great gift, you know. And I love squandering it every week for you, talking about, you know, bums and playing music about guns and crazy, you know. I don't know, man. Life, it's just something to do while you're alive. That's the bottom line. Hey, this is kind of cool. Let's get back in. So right now, let's get back into guns and insanity, all right? I love some of these, like, sound collage things. This was done by the Big City Orchestra. And this stuck with me. This is from the 80s. And it's all about, this was right after John Lennon was shot. And they did this guy's called the Big City Orchestra out of San Francisco, did this really interesting sound collage called Mark David Chapman, Zombo in Your Brain, Guns and Insanity, 88.3. Hey, no, is it 83? Yeah, I'm on this one now. Yeah. Zombo in Your Brain.
That your love is all that matters. 9:15 and you're not home. I'm sitting here on my own. And you said you would return in no time at all. No time at all. It's straight up 12.
Are getting it today. I got some really wonderful requests. This whole next section is going to be requests. So let me tell you what I played, though. That was Ruby Ann. I love that tune called Half Past Crazy. And let's get this set up here. Let me get this move over. There we go. There we go. Now we're cooking. We're cooking with something. All right. So we have got, that was Ruby Ann, Half Past Crazy. Before that, Alice Cooper from his Muscle of Love record. The great tune, Man with the Golden Gun. Nice soundtrack. It wasn't the one on the soundtrack, but man, that was a good one. Before that, Devo with I Desire, and that was actually lyrics written by John Hinckley for Jodie Foster when he the attempted assassination on Reagan. So there you be with that. And we started the set off with Mark David Chapman by the Big City Orchestra. It's always funny how most of these guys, you know they're destined to be a an assassin, serial killer, whatever, because they got three names. You know, somebody introduces yourself, hi, this is John Sebastian Smith. Oh, I'm out of here. He's got three names. I am so gone. How come John Oswald didn't get three names? Or Joe Oswald? What was the guy? Lee Harvey Oswald. He had three names. Lee Harvey Oswald. That's right. He had three names. Mark David Chapman. There's three. John Hinckley. I don't know how John Hinckley did not end up with a middle name. You know, it's sad if somebody's born, they don't have a middle name. Maybe that's what happened. He's born with a middle name. We're going to make that assassin. He's going to go down in history. John, what's his middle name? Doesn't have one. What's his last name? Hinckley. It just doesn't have any punch to it. You know, if it was, you know, John Richard Hinckley, that sounds like a killer. John Hinckley just sounds like somebody that's, you know, hanging out with you. Got one of the guys, hey, where's John Hinckley at? He's still out at lunch. He needs to get back here to this counter because it's all backed up with people. He needs to get back to the DMV and help me with all these people with their driver's licenses. And look at this one. This guy's got three names. I think he's going to be a killer. I think so. So needless to say, let's get into the Let's get into the, I got some really good stuff. I'm going to tell you what this stuff is before I play it, because I don't know if it's going to log it correctly. But it's requests from Paul staying home, is not working today, and Mark. So we've got the holdup, David Bromberg, and we got, if it were up to me, let's start with that one. If it were up to me, Sharon Wheeler and Hawkwind, Some People Never Die, because it's got a John F. Kennedy thing in the beginning. And then I got a surprise for you after that. All right. If it were up to me, let's get in back into the, you guys want to get into the requests? Why is that making a wacky sound? I don't like that wacky sound. That is a wacky sound. Let me see if I can fix this wacky sound. Where's the wacky sound at? Huh? That's still kind of wacky. You're going to have to deal with wacky. All right. Put it alongside the static. All right. The static and the wacky sound. It's just some of the sacrifices you're going to have to make for this certain style of radio. Cheryl Wheeler, If It Were Up to Me, Zombo in Your Brain, Guns and Insanity.
Take them away, just like the old Wild West. Put Just like an old Wild West, a bunch of kids in a bulletproof vest.